ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। राजविद्या राजगुह्ययोगो नाम नवमोऽध्यायः। I have to remind you, Bhagavan, in the very beginning, said to Arjuna, I am going to give you jnanam, vijnanam along with the jnanam. Along with vijnanam, I am going to give you jnanam. And what is jnanam? What is vijnanam? Bhagavan is of two natures. Which means, Bhagavan is of two prakritis. Two prakritis constitute Ishwaraha. Para prakritihi and apara prakritihi. The higher nature and inferior nature. Just to distinguish the para from the apara, we say higher and inferior. If nothing, higher and inferior. The para prakriti is the absolutely eternal. Apara is perennially eternal. And therefore, Bhagavan, these two prakritis constitute Bhagavan. So knowledge of para prakriti is vijnanam. Knowledge of apara prakriti is jnanam. So having jnanam and vijnanam is actually having the knowledge of Bhagavan. I said, knowledge of para prakritihi of Bhagavan is vijnanam. Knowledge of apara prakritihi of Bhagavan is jnanam. Because Krishna uses two words, jnanam and vijnanam. Both words actually mean knowledge. And having para prakriti jnanam, apara prakriti jnanam, or having vijnanam and jnanam is actually having knowledge of Bhagavan. And if we have the knowledge of Bhagavan, we have the knowledge of oneness of the truth. We can understand, and that as a result of which, there'll be a different, unique vision of Bhagavan being the whole. All that is there is only Bhagavan. All that is there is only the truth. If this vision is there, in this vision of everything being Bhagavan, the perspective of the self and the world will change, and which itself is freedom, moksha, jivan muktihi. And because ignorant caused all the problems in samsara will resolve in that jnana. Therefore, a human being exposed to shastra teaching, having purushartha nischeha, will live his life having this Bhagavad Sakshatkara as the ultimate goal. Then his life becomes a meaningful life. It becomes a, it's not a waste of, it's not a life not lived in vain. Otherwise, the life becomes lived in vain. The desires become vain. Effort will become vain. Everything becomes vain. That's what we saw in the previous verse. Okay, let us read from 14th now. Just read the verse. So if a person has a purushartha nischeha, if he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, means he is committed to Bhagavan. For him, Bhagavan becomes the ultimate goal. The knowledge of truth is the ultimate goal, then Bhagavan becomes the ultimate goal. Bhagavan is the ultimate goal means for him, moksha is the ultimate goal. Moksha, the ultimate goal, means he is a person of purushartha nischeha, is definite about his ultimate goal being moksha, and moksha being the choiceless end. And such people, definitely, they for them, earning punyam becomes the immediate goal. Earning punyam becomes the immediate goal means they're committed to live a life of dharma, which is their immediate goal. And because moksha is their ultimate, absolute goal. So having moksha as the ultimate end, dharma sampadanam, punya sampadanam as the immediate goal, Punya Sampadanam is not for the enjoyment of pleasures and things. Punya Sampadanam is to prepare to prepare the mind for knowledge. When they do right actions, they inevitably they earn punyam. Therefore, the commitment to dharma, having commitment to dharma as the means to prepare their mind, and they actually always having moksha as the goal, they live their lives. Such people are said to be nitya yuktaha, ever steadfast. The wise people are also said to be ever steadfast people, ever steadfast in the vision of the truth. But these people are ever steadfast in their commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. And how they live, it was described from this verse. Satatam kirtayanto maam yatantascha dridhavrataha namasyantascha maam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. So people of purushartha nischayaha, people who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, worship Bhagavan. And how do they worship? How does a spiritual person worship Bhagavan? How does a religious, a person who is merely religious, worship Bhagavan? In fact, a person who is merely ethical is not a worshipper of Bhagavan. He's ethical, so he's in the good books of people, but he's not a worshipper of Bhagavan. Whereas the religious person is a worshipper of Bhagavan. He's praying to Bhagavan. An religious person who's merely religious, how does he worship Bhagavan? We want to know. Whereas a spiritual person is the real worshipper of Bhagavan. How does he worship? That's what he said. Satatam mam kirtayantaha. Always praising me. Yatantaha. Always striving, making efforts, focused on his goal, not forgetting Bhagavan being the ultimate goal. With a firm resolve. Namasyantaha. Always bowing to Bhagavan means what? Always to completely surrendering the will to Bhagavan Dham of Dharma. Seek only Bhagavan Swarupa Jnanam. Always remembering Bhagavan. Always saying Bhagavan is the ultimate goal. They live. Always praising Bhagavan means how do they praise? It's not praising means you are great, you are that, you are this. Not that way. Satatam Kirtayantaha, understood always. How can we praise Bhagavan always? How can I remember Bhagavan always? Always associating oneself with people of the same goal. Always associate oneself with people where one can listen to the unfoldment of the teaching, the Shastram, where one can really understand what Bhagavan is essentially, what Bhagavan is everything. So listening to the unfoldment of subject matter of the Shastram, and wherever is actually always worshipping Bhagavan, is always praising Bhagavan. You can never praise Bhagavan. Understanding exactly what, trying to understand what Bhagavan is through the study of the Shastram is really praising Bhagavan. I tell you, Kirtanam, you can say, we also sing Kirtanams. We do sing bhajans. And where we praise Bhagavan, you are almighty, you are all-knowing, omniscient, omnipotent, etc. That is, Swamiji always used to say, it's only a flattery. Because not having understood Bhagavan, before, how much have you praised Bhagavan, it's only a mere flattery. But really praising Bhagavan is what? Appreciation of Bhagavan is praising Bhagavan. Appreciation of Bhagavan is what? Trying to understand how glorious Bhagavan is. Through the study of the scriptures, by associating ourselves with people who are interested in Shastram, like when people through satsangaha alone is what? Really praising Bhagavan. Okay? Therefore, satatam kirtayantaha, yatantaha, namasyantaha cha bhaktya, nityuktaha, mam upasate. This is how people of purusharthanischeha worship. go to the next verse. I know we've already done this, but I don't remember it. And some people, jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mamupasate ekatvena pruthatvena bahudha visvato mukham. The previous verse, the people of Purushartha Nischeha alone live a life of karma yoga. Living a life karma yoga means they live a worshipful, prayerful life, that they do not forget Bhagavan at all. Even Bhagavan being the goal is never forgotten. That is why their effort is constant and continuous, and they are always steadfast in their pursuit of knowledge. We saw that. And apart from the other people who are also people of Purushartha Nischaya and who have lived life karma yoga, how do they worship? Studying the Shastram itself is a form of worship. Just to explain to you last class. Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mamupasate ekatvena pruthatvena bahudha visvato mukham. So some people worship Bhagavan through the jnana yajnaha. I told you jnana yajnaha means what? Listening to the unfoldment of the teaching is the jnana yajna. Teaching is jnana yajnaha. Listening to that teaching is also jnana yajnaha. It's a worship in the form of understanding of Bhagavan. Study of the scripture is jnana yajna. It's also a form of worship, which is called jnana yajna. Here, the teacher is like the hota, the performer of a ritual. And the words which come out of the mouth of the teacher are like the havis. And the students who are listening to the, not students, and who were listening to the unfoldment of the teaching, you know, there, the ears of the hearer, listener, is like the yajna kunda. And the hearing power in the ear is like the fire into which oblations are offered. Now the speaker, the teacher is the performer of a ritual. His words of unfoldment of the subject matter is what? Like a havis, oblations. Ear of the listener is the Agni Kunda. Hearing power is the fire into which the teaching is poured and which reaches the Devata. Is what? Mind is the Devata to whom the mind of the listener is the Devata towards whom oblations are offered. And the outcome, the benefit of this offering, this Jnana Yajnaha, is the knowledge. The knowledge which rises in the mind of a student is what? When the knowledge from the teacher's mind is transferred to the student's mind, when the knowledge rises there, then that is the yajna phalam. Jnanam is the yajna phalam. Therefore, the teaching itself is what? Jnana yajna. There are some people who study the Shastram or the people who worship Bhagavan through jnana yajna. They worship Bhagavan in the form of listening to subject matter of the Shastram. Bhagavad Gita listening is what? It's a puja. The Mahati puja. The great puja is what? Listening to the unfoldment of the teaching. So, anye bhajante jnana yajnena yajantaha maupasate. Some people worship me. They think of me, meditate upon me. How do they keep me in their lives? By worshipping me through jnana yajna. To study of the scriptures. And how do they worship? Bahudha. They worship me in many ways. But some people know. Prithatvena. They worship me in many ways. But some people see Bhagavan as the one different from myself. As the one different from one's own self. And Vishwatomukham. Prithatvena. And Ekatvena means what? Some people seeing Bhagavan as one's own Swarupam. See, Bhagwan as one's own Swarupam. See, Bhagwan as the one who is of many forms, Vishwatomukham, as the multifarious, Bhagwan of multifarious forms, Bhagwan as one's own Swarupam, Bhagwan is the one who's different from one's own self. In many forms, in many ways they worship, but they worship me through the study of the scriptures, okay, which is otherwise called Jnana Yajna, which also we have already seen. Now we'll move on to the next verse. Actually, initially, when we start our devotion to Bhagavan, and we worship, especially in our culture, we worship Bhagavan in different forms. Worship Bhagavan in one given form, sitting in our room, puja room. So that is Ekarupa Bhakti. Then later on, we expose the teaching, we understand Bhagavan is not just this one form. In fact, all the forms here are Bhagavan. Anekarupa Bhakti. We see Bhagavan in one given form, as Bhagavan as one form. Then we see, we understand this Shastra teaching, we see all the forms are Bhagavan's forms. All the forms are Bhagavan means what? Anekarupa Bhakti or Vishwarupa Bhakti. Seeing the whole world as Bhagavan. It's a shift. Then finally from here, even though all forms are Bhagavan, Bhagavan is not any form. Bhagavan is of the nature of formlessness essentially. When the understanding happens, that is Arupa Swarupa Jnanam is what? Arupa Bhakti. So Ekarupa Bhakti moves to Anekarupa Bhakti, Vishwarupa Bhakti, and that Bhakti finally becomes what culminates in Arupa Swarupa Jnanam, which itself is the most exalted of Bhakti. Jnana Bhakti is what? Arupa Swarupa Jnana Bhakti. Anyway, so now let us see here 16th verse. That's what initially we say when we worship one Bhagavan in one given form and standing in front of the Bhagavan, seeing Bhagavan as an object, we start as Ekarupa Bhakti, Prithaktvena. Then we say what? Vishwatomukham. Seeing Bhagavan as the one who is of multifarious, innumerable, countless forms, names and functions. Bhagavan as the whole. It's a big shift. And from there, we shift is what? This Bhagavan who is in the form of, who alone is manifest as the whole universe, is essentially of the nature of formlessness. And the only truth of everything. And where I resolve my individuality, and where I resolve the whole Jagat as Brahma, as the truth, Bhagavan, seeing Bhagavan as Brahma, limitless reality is what? Arupa Swarupa Bhakti. That is Ekatvena. It's called Ekatva. So Ekatva Bhakti, Prithaktva Bhakti, Vishwato Mukhatva Bhakti. Shastra study takes care of this shifting from this one thing to the other, and we should culminate in the Arupa Swarupa Jnana Bhakti. Aham kraturaham yajnah swadhahamaham aushadham mantrohamahame vajyam aham agniraham hutam. Also we have seen already. So I am the very ritual with the yupa, with the sacrificial post. I am the very sudha, the food offered to ancestors. I am aushadam, I am the very nutrients of all the plants. I am the very food. Aham, I am the very mantra, sacred chants. Aham, ahameva ajyam, aham the ghee offered as an oblation. Aham I am the very fire into which our oblations are offered, and I am the very offered oblation. Putam Ajyam. Okay, everything is myself. Means Bhagavan is explaining how understanding should be taken from seeing Bhagavan as an object, other than oneself, to Bhagavan being everything, the whole. Pitahamasya jagata. This is a new verse. Pitahamasya jagata. Mata dhata pitamahah. Pitahamasya jagata. Mata dhata pitamahah. Vedyam pavitramongkarah. Tramonkarah Riksamaya Jurevacha Aham Kratura Pitahamasya Jagato Mata Dhata Pitamahah Vedyam Pavitramonkarah Riksamaya Jurevacha. Again, when the teaching itself has to shift our understanding from Ekarupa Bhakti to Vishwarupa Bhakti, Bhagavan has to, so here Vyasacharya through Bhagavan presents this teaching. Bhagavan himself says, I am the whole. Bhagavan says, I am the whole. It means this, everything is me. So, we saw how the previous verse, how he started the teaching, and he continues here. Pitaham, 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 savarna dirgha sandhi. Pitaham, pitaham. Pitaham is what? Aham pita. I am the father. I am the father. Of what? Asya jagataha. Asya jagataha aham pita. Asya jagataha pita aham. Aham asya jagataha pita. All of you can understand simple Sanskritam now. Aham asya jagataha pita. Why jagataha? Because takaranta shabda. Therefore, positive case of jagat is what? Jagat, jagat, jagata, jagate, jagataha, jagataha. Possessive case jagataha. Asya jagataha means I am the father of this entire objective universe. I am the father of the whole means the universe is nothing but my own manifestation. Okay? I am the father of the whole universe means I, the self, am the intelligent cause, efficient cause, without whose presence knowledge of the world is not possible, without which the world itself cannot become the known, without which the world cannot have the status of being existent. I, the self, am the very truth, which exists, satyam, which lends existence to this world. I lend existence to this world means what? The whole world does not have independent existence outside of me. The whole world is me because I am the father of the world. Because the intelligent cause of the world is what? I am the intelligent cause of the world. Asya jagataha mata aham. Aham asya jagataha mata. Aham asya jagataha pita. Aham asya jagataha mata also. I am the mother of this entire universe. And the mother of this entire universe means there is no way of this universe coming into manifestation. It the universe has to come into manifestation. I am the source of manifestation as the Father. I am the mother where whose presence manifestation itself is not possible. Which means the material cause of this universe also is myself. Material cause of the universe is also myself. Prakritihi, apara prakritihi alone is the shakti of the real truth. Brahma shaktihi alone is my own wielding power. Manifest alone is this universe. Therefore, prakriti, the power of reality, manifest alone is what? Is this universe. Therefore, the material cause of the universe is also myself. The intelligent cause, the source of manifestation is myself. Therefore, I am the father of this universe. I am the mother of this universe. Absolutely, ultimately, who are the parents of this universe? Jagataha mata, jagataha pita, aham. Oh my God. We always see mother is different, father is different. With reference to this whole cosmos, mother and father are one and the same Bhagavan, who is said to be Ardhanarishwara, who alone is two inseparable causes of the universe is what? Bhagavan. That's why Vagattava Sampruktau Vagatta Pratipattaya Jagatav Pitaro Vande Parvati Parameshwaro. Said Kalidasa in his first verse of Vagamsha, we say here, Vagattava Sampruktau, this intelligent cause, the Aparapara Prakritihi, the material cause Apara Prakritihi, these two Prakritis constitute Bhagavan, they're inseparable. Because truth and its power are inseparable. Brahma and Brahma, power of Brahma are inseparable. These two powers, the two together, when you see inseparable reality with its power alone, is here looked upon as Ishvara, manifest in the form of the whole Jagat. But Bhagavan, he says, I am the father of this universe. I am the mother of this universe also. Because there's no material cause ultimately other than my power, apara prakriti. There's no intelligent cause other than the source of the power. I am myself. For aham pita as jagataha, aham mata. Not only that, is anybody else then? Usually when my father and mother are there, there must be somebody else. Look after also. No. Aham dhata. Aham dhata. Dhata means what? One who dispenses, ordains. I am the ordainer, the dispenser of this entire universe. So I am the ordainer, one who maintains everything in order. I am the one who maintain the whole thing in a fixed order. I am the very order, ordaining everything in this of this universe. Then Pitamaha literally means grandfather. So I am the first and the foremost grandfather of the whole universe means what? There's nothing beyond Bhagavan's Swarupam. Nothing beyond Bhagavan. If Bhagavan is the father and mother, Bhagavan is the grandfather also means there's nothing beyond Bhagavan. Yet Bhagavan as father and mother is beyond the universe. But nothing beyond Bhagavan. Therefore, Bhagavan is the grandfather of the universe also. Is it clear? When you say, I am the father of the universe, mother of the universe means what? Bhagavan as the truth of the universe, Bhagavan as the existence of the universe is beyond the universe. As mother and father, distinct from the universe. At the same time, there's nothing beyond Bhagavan. Therefore, Bhagavan is the grandfather of the universe also. Therefore, aham asya jagataha pita, aham asya jagataha mata, aham dhata. And in everything, in this whole universe, the innumerable countless forms and functions, everything exists within the realm of an order. nothing exists outside of law. Your existence is within the realm of law. My existence is within the realm of law. Your body, my body, your functions, my functions. That is why it is an ant exists, which does not need to ask your permission whether it should exist here or not. All our existence, I tell you, every small thing which enjoys existence is within the realm of law and order. And that order also is what? The one ordains all experiences, everything, which karma should be exhausted when. There is an order, and that one who is in the realm of the order, one who ordains everything, sustains everything, is also Dhata, Aham the Dhata, and also Pitamaha. I'm the first and the foremost father and mother, beyond whom nothing else is there, nobody else is there. Then Aham Vedyam, Pavitram Vedyam. I'm Pavitram Vedyam. The Pavitram Vedyam, I'm the Vedyam. Vedyam is ultimately the one thing which should be choicelessly discovered is also what? My own Swarupam. Vedyam means to be known. What is that one thing should be choicelessly discovered one day or the other in this life or some other life? Unless and until discovering which, well, there's no way of one becoming free. That is what ultimately, that which is to be discovered is this Bhagavad Sarupam. Bhagavan says, I am the Vedyam. I am the one to be discovered ultimately. Then Pavitram. Pavitram means what? Punati. I am the most purifying. Therefore, Pavitram is I am the most purifying. I am the purifier. I am the purifying factor. Therefore, I am the auspicious one. Pavitra means the most purifying. Why? Only Bhagavan as the truth. Essentially, the whole Jagat is Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan means essentially Bhagavan is of the nature of very reality, the pure knowledge. And which is absolutely ever free from all impurities. According to all impurities obtaining in the realm of thoughts, gather existence in Bhagavan. There are impurities in Bhagavan means what? Impurities are in Bhagavan means impurities enjoy their existence in Bhagavan. Good and evil enjoy their existence in Bhagavan. But Bhagavan is free from all the impurities, untainted, untouched by all the impurities. No, therefore, and discovering this Bhagavan and having identity with this Bhagavan, one becomes absolutely pure minded. And this Bhagavan as the truth is discovered, and in the wake of the knowledge, the wrong notions resolve. Wrong notions about self go, all the impurities also become resolved for good. That is why knowledge of Bhagavan is the most purifying. Where Bhagavan, the subject matter of knowledge, which contributes for the absolute purity, is said to be the most purifying Pavitra. Then, what about Omkara? We talk highly of Omkara. Om, the sound symbol of the Lord, the whole, we say. Only three sounds constitute one syllable, single syllable, monosyllabic expression, Om. Bhagavan says, come on, I am this word, Om. I am the word, Om. Om symbolizes Bhagavan. But that word symbolizing Bhagavan is also what? Bhagavan alone is in the form of everything denoted by the word Om. Okay, Bhagavan is in the form of everything denoted by the term Om. The whole cosmos denoted by the word Om is what? Bhagavan. And the very word denoting Bhagavan in the form of whole universe is also Bhagavan. Word is Bhagavan, meaning is also Bhagavan. Om is a monosyllabic expression, substantive. The substance is the whole cosmos. If the word is Bhagavan, the meaning of the word is also Bhagavan. The word and its meaning both are Bhagavan. Word as a manifestation of, expression of manifestation of knowledge is Bhagavan. The meaning of the word is also Bhagavan. Expressed word is Bhagavan. Manifest knowledge is Bhagavan. And the source of manifestation also is Bhagavan. The power of knowing manifest is Bhagavan. The source of power is Bhagavan. Therefore, Aham Omkaraha. When you say Om itself is Bhagavan, we have said what? We have reduced all knowledge as Bhagavan. Bhagavan as the only, so Bhagavan as the truth, absolute truth of the whole. Bhagavan is the only source of all knowledge. All knowledge. Bhagavan being the source of the truth of manifestation, source of manifestation, Bhagavan is the true source of all knowledge. Therefore, even our four Vedas, the and the treasures of knowledge also is Bhagavan. What is Rigveda? Rigvedaha Bhagavan, Yajurvedaha Bhagavan, Samavedaha Bhagavan. We have to say everything is Bhagavan. Bhagavan can say, I am everything. When we say everything is Bhagavan, we have to say, therefore, I am also Bhagavan. Bhagavan has to say, but I am the whole. I am everything. Aham Vedyam, Aham Pavitram, Aham Omkaraha, Aham Rik, Aham Sama, Aham Yajuhu, Yevacha. Continuous. Vishwarupa Jnanam, unfoldment of Bhagavan being the whole, is he continues here.
Gatir bhatta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam suhrut. Gatir bhatta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam suhrut. Prabhava pralayasthanam nidhanam bijamoyayam. Gatir bhatta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhrut Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijamoyayam.
Bhagavan continues to say, from here we have to see how Bhagavan says that I am everything. It means we should understand everything is Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan. We have to include our body is Bhagavan, our mind is Bhagavan, our thoughts are Bhagavan, our emotions are Bhagavan, our pranas are Bhagavan. In fact, finally, I am, the knowledge I am is also Bhagavan. Bhagavan. Then what is there afterwards? Everything is Bhagavan. When you finally you say, everything is Bhagavan. And then, what is the first? We have to say, body is Bhagavan, mind is, the sense organs are Bhagavan, organs of actions are Bhagavan, physiological functions are Bhagavan, all the emotions are Bhagavan, all the thoughts are Bhagavan, all the cognitions are Bhagavan. The knowledge of the existence of the self obtaining in the of thought in terms of I am is also Bhagavan. Your I is also Bhagavan. Am is also Bhagavan. I am Bhagavan. Understand? I am Bhagavan means what now? I am is also Bhagavan means. And when you discover this fact that how I is the truth, like wave is water, I, the cognition of the existence of self thought is also Bhagavan means. That is called offering one's own self. That's called what? Ahankara Nasha, Ahankara Tyaga, submission of oneself to Bhagavan. I offer myself to Bhagavan, I submit myself to Bhagavan means then offering comes to an end and in your vision all it is there is only Bhagavan. Okay, so Bhagavan says finally again.
Gatir bhatta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam suhrut prabhava pralayasthanam nidhanam bijamauyayam. Gatihi bharta prabhuhu sakshi nivasaha sharanam suhrut prabhavaha pralayaha sthanam nidhanam aviyam bijam. I am everything. Gatihi literally means going. Gatihi is a feminine noun of the word gamanam. Gamanam means going, it's a gerund. And gatihi is another word, feminine noun. Gamanam is a neuter noun. Going. Arrival. Destination. The final place of reach. Gatihi. But here the word gatihi will be taken as what? What is that finally, ultimately to be arrived at in terms of knowledge by the human mind? What is that one has to absolutely, ultimately arrive at? The absolute end, accomplishing which one need not travel anymore. One can avoid the arrival departure, the samsara involving arrival and departure. The final goal, discovering which everything else becomes known, as it were. Arriving at which no more journey involved. The journey comes to an end. And that reality, the absolute goal, is also Bhagavan. Absolute goal is Bhagavan. I am the absolute goal. Gatihi means absolute goal. The final destination. I am the very goal. Bharta. See, the word bharta literally means husband. In fact, every husband is supposed to be bharta. Bharati iti bharta. Bharati means one who supports, one who sustains, one who really sustain. Supporter, sustainer is bharta. The bearer, sustainer is bharta. And wife is called bharya. The one who has to be sustained and supported and looked after is bharya. Don't ask me why and all. That is how the Sanskrit words are. So bharta, here Bhagavan is the only bharta of the whole jagat.
all the bhartas and bharyas and families and children and everything in this universe is sustained, supported by one truth. If Bhagavan, who is essentially the truth of everything, is the absolute sustainer of the whole cosmos. All the so-called husbands and so-called wives and so-called children and everything in the universe sustained by Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not only Mata, Pita, Dhata. Bhagavan, Pitamaha is also Bharta of the entire universe. Bhagavan is the absolutely supporter, husband of the whole universe. That's why Bhagavan also called Madhavaha. Ma means the power manifest as the whole cosmos is looked upon as Mother Lakshmi. And Dhavaha, husband, sustainer, support of the whole universe, in the form, mother in the form of whole universe is Madhavaha. Husband of Lakshmi means what? Supporter of the universe, sustainer of the whole universe. One who lends existence to the power and its manifestation. The source of knowledge. You have no Bharta, sustainer of the whole universe. Prabhu, I am the Prabhu. Bhagavan says, Prabhu, prakarshena bhati iti Prabhu. Prabhu, without doing anything, just by one's mere presence, the one who has absolute mastery over everything is Prabhu. The absolute master of everything means to have mastery over something, we must be, to be a ruler of anything, you must be doing something. Whereas Bhagavan, as the essential reality, just by the mere presence, and Bhagavan is actually has absolute mastery over everything. But the master of everything is what? Prabhu. Then Sakshi. Bhagavan is the only absolute evidence. Bhagavan in the form of truth. Bhagavan as the very reality of the whole cosmos. Bhagavan is the essential nature of everything. Obtaining as the innermost essence of every individual being, as the Atma, as Brahma, Bhagavan is the absolute knower, witness, the only knower, the only witness of the whole cosmos is always Bhagavan. Absolutely, who is witnessing the whole cosmos? Bhagavan only. The truth only. The Jagat is witnessed. Presence of the universe is witnessed. Universe being unmanifest is witnessed. The universe being manifest is witnessed. The universe is being manifest is not witnessed. There's something else is witnessed in the mind in the form of dreams also. Therefore, the only witness, absolute witness, of the universe, the witnessed universe being manifest and the witnessed universe being unmanifest is Bhagavan. Sakshi, Nivasaha. See, Vasaha itself means Vasudhatu. Yasmin vasati sarvam vasaha. Vasaha means a residence. An abode, residence. Nivasaha means the permanent residence. Absolute residence, abode of everything. That in which alone everything comes into existence, exists, enjoys existence, again dissolves in everything. Absolute abode beyond which, outside of which, nothing enjoys existence here. nivasaha. Bhagwan is the existence of the whole jagat. Bhagavan in the form of pure knowledge, Bhagavan in the form of source of knowledge, Bhagavan in the form of the ultimate truth is the only existence of the whole jagat. The whole jagat enjoys its existence only in Bhagavan. Therefore, Bhagavan is the absolute abode, the residence of the whole. Bhagavan is Nivasaha. If you look at the whole cosmos as power of Bhagavan, power of Bhagavan manifest is the whole cosmos, means you call Bhagavan power as the Shrihi. All wealth, the whole cosmos is wealth. Aishwaryam. The whole cosmos is Shrihi. And Bhagavan is the abode of all wealth in the form of the wealth in its entirety. In the form of the whole cosmos, Bhagavan is the abode. Bhagavan is said to be Shri Nivasaha, Jagan Nivasaha. Bhagavan is the Nivasaha of the entire Jagat, the entire Shri. Therefore, he is called Shri Nivasaha, Jagan Nivasaha. He also Jagadishaha, Vishwanathaha, Jagannathaha. All the words are there, but Bhagavan is the Nivasaha. Jagannivasaha means what? There is no Jagat which has independent existence outside of Bhagavan in the form of truth. We can say that we can call water Samudra Nivasaha. Samudra Nivasaha. Taranga Nivasaha. Samudra Nivasaha is water. Jagannivasaha is Bhagavan. Srinivasaha is Bhagavan. Sakala Nivasaha is Bhagavan. Sarva Nivasaha is Bhagavan. Sharanam. Bhagavan is Sharanam. You must see, it's already is called Vishwarupa Dhyanam. Now what we are doing is Upasanam. Now we are seeing how Bhagavan is actually. Therefore, it is meditation. Already it is meditation. Sharanam. Sharanam means what? Refuge. Not charanaha. Charanaha is a masculine gender word which means a foot. Charanau, two feet. Sharanam, that is cha is a palatal, first letter cha. Sha is a palatal sibilant. Sharanam, charanau. Okay? Sharanam means refuge. That's why Swamiye Sharanam Ayyappa. Okay, not Charanam Ayyappa. Whereas Charanau Sharanam Prapadye. Charanau Sharanam Prapadye means I take refuge in thy feet. Means your feet are my refuge. Means I take refuge in thee. That's the meaning. Anyway, so Sharanam, refuge. Who is the ultimate refuge for anything and anybody in the world? Ultimately, where can we go and surrender? Where can we take refuge? Ultimate refuge. We are all refugees. Only people who come from Sri Lanka with a passport is a refugee. Come from India is a refugee. Somebody coming from somewhere to another country without a passport is a refugee. And that country becomes a refuge. Whereas for the entire jagat, for all the beings, the only absolute refuge is Bhagavan. We are all refugees. And Bhagavan is the only refuge. You know, when this world ditches, people ditches, our possessions ditches, there will time the world will ditch us. No, the mind is which stop means the world will ditch us. There'll be a time we'll be ditched by everything. And the only refuge is what? Bhagavan. And Adi Shankara says in Subramanya Bhujangam, Mayi anathe he guha tvam agre bhava. And I am on my all my, myself, my I am myself. I mean, I am all alone by myself without any support to hang on to, lean on anything. When I do not get to lean on anything emotionally and I remain all alone myself, I need something to lean on, hey Bhagavan, then you reveal the Swarupam to me, so I don't need to lean on anything. I can just lean on you means what? I can see you yourself as my Swarupam. I don't need to lean on anything. You are my absolute refuge. Sharanam. Then Sukrut. Hrid means heart. Su means good. Good-hearted person means the one who thinks, one who is considerate about your wellness. Well-being is your well-wisher. Of course, we are well-wishers. We wish well. We mean well for others. But how? Bhagavan is the only absolute well-wisher. Now, Prabhavaha. Prabhavaha, the Bhagavan is the only ultimate source of origination. Prabhavaha. Sarvam prabhavati asmat saha prabhavaha. Bhagavan is the only ultimate source of origination of everything. Bhagavan is the only source of resolution of everything. Where do all the beings resolve? Where do all the thoughts resolve? Where does the whole universe remain resolved for a length of time? The only source of resolution of the whole is Bhagavan Pralayaha. Bhagavan, only source of origination of everything is Bhagavan. Nothing comes into existence from somewhere any elsewhere other than Bhagavan. Everything resolves in Bhagavan. And everything, the whole cosmos, everything enjoys its existence in Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the sthanam. Bhagavan is the place where everything is located. Bhagavan sthanam means what? Tishtati yasmin sarvam tat sthanam. Sthanam is a noun. Supporting, standing, remaining. Sthanam, that, the sthanam means place. That which is the accommodation. That which is the place in which everything remains. Everything remains sustained. So sthanam stands for the only source of existence is Bhagavan. Only source of origination is Bhagavan. The source of resolution is also Bhagavan. Prabhavaha Bhagavan, Pralayaha Bhagavan, Sthanam Bhagavan. So Prabhavaha stands for Bhagavan is the Srishti Karta. Bhagavan is the Sthiti Karta. Bhagavan is the Pralayakarta. Srishti Sthiti Layakarta Bhagavan means Bhagavan, we don't even say Bhagavan does not do anything to create the universe. Bhagavan does not do anything to sustain the creation. Bhagavan does not do anything to undo the creation. Without doing anything, just by mere presence, with any action, Bhagavan, as the truth, formless reality, is the source of origination, manifestation. Bhagavan is the source of resolution. And Bhagavan is the source of existence of the whole universe. Therefore, Bhagavan is not the creator, sustainer, or the destroyer of everything, but there is no resolver, creator, sustainer of everything in the world. But Bhagavan is said to be Prabhavaha, Pralayaha, Sthanam, and Nidhanam. Nidhanam and the Sharanam, almost the same meaning. Nidhanam means, Nidhanam is actually end of everything. Bhagavan is the repository of everything, repository of all beings. But Bhagavan is essentially avyayam bijam. Any bijam, any seed is vyayam bijam. Every seed has to undergo a change, break open in order to come out as a sprout and sapling, and then to grow into a big tree, and to grow into a full-fledged plant. Whereas Bhagavan is the avyayam bijam, unchangeable, changeless, everlasting, inexhaustible source, the seed in which everything originates, exists, and resolves. Avyayam bijam, imperishable, everlasting, changeless, beginningless, endless, inexhaustible seed of everything. When you say Nidhanam, you have to also attribute another expression. That is why whichever it is, Bhagavan, a source of omniscience, also implied by the word Nidhanam, which means all discoveries are actually nothing but Bhagavan is a source of all forms of discoveries and inventions. Bhagavan essentially being a very true knowledge, and Bhagavan is a source of all knowledge. So all discoveries, what have been discovered already, what are going to be discovered in future, all new inventions, all discovered facts, everything is Bhagavan, which have already been discovered, which are being discovered, which are going to be discovered, everything is already Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is the Nidhanam. Tapam yahamaham varsham. That beautiful Bhagavad Dhyanam, Vishwarupa Dhyanam. I'm sure you're enjoying it. When you aham, Bhagavan says, and you have to see that truth. You see, as the truth of I is the truth of I in everything, truth of the whole, which is Bhagavan here. Tapam yahamaham varsham nigrannam yutsrujamicha. It's called gradually shifting our understanding of Bhagavan being one form to the Vishwarupam. Ekarupa bhakti taha anekarupa Vishwarupa bhakti. Seeing Bhagavan as everything. And finally, Bhagavan, who is the form of everything, is essentially Arupaha Bhagavan. That is the truth, and I am that truth. Now, arrive at that. Now we'll see it again. Tapam yahamaham varsham nigrinnam yutsrujamicha amritam chaiva mrityuscha sadasachaham arjuna. See, if you are interested only in knowing the truth, I am, then it means you are ignoring. There's no gradual gradual understanding. You should try to leap. This is not a waste of time. It's the most precious time It is this, the class itself is meditation upon Bhagavan. Seeing Bhagavan is meditation, dhyanam.
Tapam yahamaham varsham. Tapam yahamaham varsham. Nigrannam yutsrujamicha. Nigrannam yutsrujamicha. Amrutam chaiva mrityuscha. Sadasachaham Arjuna. Amrutam chaiva mrityuscha. Sadasachaham Arjuna. Tapam yahamaham varsham. Nigrannam yutsrujamicha. Amrutam chaiva mrityuscha. Sadasachaham Arjuna.
Bhagavan continues. Tapami aham tapamyaham. Take the first word. Tapami aham tapamyaham. So Vishwarupa Ishwara Dhyanam Bhagavad Dhyanam is continued by Vyasacharya in his words as words of Bhagavan Krishna himself, saying how everything is myself. Krishna says, I am everything. First he says, tapami aham tapamyaham. You all know aham is a first person singular pronoun, meaning I. Aham, I. Tapami aham tapamyaham. There is yan sandhi. Sanskrit students make a note, yan sandhihi, tapami, aham tapamyaham. And what is tapami? First person, singular person tense verb. Tapami, actually tapati means scorches. Tapati, tapataha, tapanti, tapasi, tapataha, tapatha, tapami, tapavaha, tapamaha. Means tapati means scorches. Gives heat means energizes, enlivens, gives life, gives breath. So tapami means I enliven. What do you enliven? I enliven the whole cosmos. I energize whole cosmos. I lend life to the whole cosmos. I give life to the whole cosmos. I energize, I enliven the whole jagat. That is why whole jagat being energized by cosmic person, cosmic, the conscious being, the whole jagat being energized by conscious, Bhagavan in the form of conscious being, consciousness, the whole jagat is a cosmic being, energized, enlivened. Whole jagat is what? Cosmic being. We do not look at the universe as matter. We look at the whole universe as the universe, the matter as the manifestation of knowledge. Whole universe is Purushaha, Vishwarupaha Purushaha, Mahavishnuhu Perumal. We do not look at anything as matter, an inert matter. Every inert material object is looked upon as manifestation of consciousness. Therefore, we say there is no matter other than consciousness. Okay, aham tapami. I energize. I enliven. I give life to the whole universe. I am the conscious being lending life to the inert material world, engulfing the inertness, making them what? As manifestation of knowledge. Raham tapami. So what happened? That's why nigrannami. Aham nigrannami. Aham nigrannami means what? Grinnami, I hold. Nigrannami means I also, I withdraw, not myself, I pull the whole universe into me, myself. I draw the whole universe. Again, utsrujami cha nigrannami, then utsrujami. Nigrannami utsrujami cha. Again, nigrannami plus utsrujami. Again, yansandihi. I draw, I pull, I retain, then utsrujami, I again release. Utsarjanam, okay, releasing. What do I draw, pull, take, and release? What do I do that? Varsham. Aham tapami, aham varsham nigrannami, aham varsham utsrujami cha. I lend heat here, energize, and I draw, pull the water, rains, and again release the rain, the water in form of rains. So Bhagavan says, the law of evaporation, the law of condensation, okay? And again, the pouring of what rains is all within the realm of order. And Bhagavan in the form of order is behind. Bhagavan is the knowledge backing the order involved in this function of evaporation, condensation, rains. Aham varsham nigrannami, aham varsham utsrujami. Varsham means, varshaha means rain. Varshaha also means year. 2020, nutana varshaha, new year. But varshaha means vrishtihi, rains. It is, I am holding the water. I hold the water. I draw the water. I release the water in the form of rains. Nigrinnami varsham, aham utsrujami cha. Aham amritam, aham is implied here. Amritam cha. Aham yeva amritam cha. Mrityuhu cha. Am cha eva chaiva vriddhi sandhi. Mrityuhu cha. Mrityuscha. Visarga followed by kar becomes sakara, then palatal shakara. Mrityuhu cha. Aham amritam, ahameva amritam cha, aham yeva mrityuhu cha. Amritam literally means dead, sorry, amritam means nectar. Amritam means also, mritam means dead participle. Amritam means, so mritam also means mortal, amritam immortal. But here, if you take it as the noun, okay. Aham amrita means, I am of the source of immortality. I am of the source of, I am the very cause, the truth, the source of immortality. If at all somebody wants to attain immortality, immortality can never be attained, because what is immortal cannot be made mortal. What is mortal cannot be made immortal. What is subject? Mortality is a thing but a change. Mortality is a change of form of one thing into another form. Change of one form into another form is mortality. Change, which is inevitable, unavoidable, the change is the nature of the matter. The changing of one form into another form is unchangeable nature of nature. And what is subject to change cannot be prevented from undergoing changes. And what is not subject to change cannot be changed at all. Therefore, if at all one has to attain immortality, attaining immortality means understanding the changelessness, absolutely changelessly. Understanding the absolutely changeless reality is attainment of immortality. Therefore, Bhagavan, as the truth, is absolutely of the nature of immortality, of the nature of changelessness, avyayam bijam. And therefore, Bhagavan is the source of immortality. Amritam, aham amritam, Brahma, I am the immortal reality. Bhagavan is essentially of the nature of immortality. Mrityuhu cha. And then is there something called mortality, change, death, which happens outside of Bhagavan? Can there be something called death at all outside of Bhagavan, independent of Bhagavan? Death is nothing but a change which happens, not happens in Bhagavan. Change doesn't happen outside of Bhagavan. Therefore, the mortality, the change is also Bhagavan. Mortality is Bhagavan. The source of Bhagavan is of the nature of immortality, essentially. And that immortal reality, Bhagavan, immortal reality is the source of mortality also. Because there can mortality change this. I mean, changeless reality is the substratum of all the changes. Immortal reality is the substratum existence of all the mortality of anything, the change of anything, all forms. So I am the source of immortality. I am the cause of mortality. Nothing exists outside of me. Aham Sat. Aham Asat. Sat. Asat. Cha. Sandhi. Sat plus Asat. Sadasat. Sadasat plus Cha. Sadasat Cha. Aham. Hey Arjuna. Aham Sat, Aham Asat. Which means, I am the manifest, I am the unmanifest. In the universe unmanifest, I am the unmanifest. I am the manifest. The universe, which is manifestation of power of reality, is known as knowledge is Bhagavan. The universe, the power of reality, unmanifest, known as ignorance, is also Bhagavan. Because Bhagavan is of the nature of pure knowledge essentially, which alone is in the form of knowledge and ignorance. therefore, which alone of manifest universe and the unmanifest power. Bhagwan is the source of the power, the manifestation of which is the manifest universe. Unmanifest is otherwise said to be the ignorance, and which is when the universe is unmanifest as well. Everything is Bhagwan. Manifest is Bhagwan, unmanifest is Bhagwan. Mritam is Bhagwan, Mrityu is Amritam is Bhagwan, Mrityu is Bhagwan. Death is Bhagwan, immortality is Bhagwan. Bhagwan is the order. Bhagwan the knowledge back in the order. Bhagwan is the order. Bhagwan is therefore behind this even evaporation, condensation, even the releasing of water, even the rains. And Bhagwan is the one who lends, energizes the whole universe. We say sun is the energizer relatively. Absolute energizer of the whole universe is Bhagwan. That's why sun always becomes symbol for the relative energizer is taken to be the absolute energizer, a symbol of the absolute energizer in the form of pure knowledge.
Tapam yahamaham varsham nigrinnam yutsrujamicha amrutan chaiva mrityuscha sadasachaham arjuna.
Okay. It's a very relevant verse. I would like to talk more about it, but I don't want to take your time. No, because we're all going to have Sankranti soon. Sankramanam. In 2 days' time, we'll be celebrating Sankranti, Sankramanam. Dakshana Punyakala begins. I've already started in Margasirsha month. And in we say Maghama science, isn't it? With Tamil, we say Thai Masam, and I think in North India, we call it Magha, isn't it? So, this Uttarayana, Dakshinayana Punyakalam beginning in this Magha, this Sankranti means the season when we harvest all our grains. Opposed to Parvama ritual called Aghrayanam, before cutting all the grains. So, we see Bhagavan's grace being manifest in all the grains. All the farmers which they just cut and bring home from the farms. Can you believe Mother Earth gives so much of food? And that is because, and then they clean and pack and then they export and you go and buy in your supermarkets. What you buy comes from straight from the farmer's land only. And which means, and imagine how much, what is abundant, what role the Surya Bhagavan has placed. We get our food and the Surya Bhagavan is somewhere above, non-reachably far, and his just heat gives everything. That's why we're so thankful to Bhagavan for blessing us with the food. All the food we all energy we have, all the energy we enjoy is Surya Bhagavan only. That's why we have to express our thanks to Bhagavan. Heartfelt thanks to Bhagavan, Surya Bhagavan. On Sankranti day, that's why we cook new rice, new grains. We offer to Surya Bhagavan. And this Sankranti, I really pray, help, request you, all of you, to pray intensely, seeking Surya Bhagavan's grace, so that Agni Bhagavan also withdraw this fervor. So places like Australia can be protected and saved. Wherever all the animals, see the kangaroos and other animals being killed, my God, getting burnt. So genuinely, may all of you offer your cooked food, particular food, with sincere prayers to Surya Bhagavan, Agni Bhagavan, Varuna Bhagavan, all devatas. And so this Sankranti must bring about a new change. Every Sankranti we pray that there should be something new should happen. The old things go and new fresh things come. We want to get rid of all the unwanted things from us and we want to have only things which are desirable and pleasant, which are good for us. Good for our jnanam and moksha. Therefore, wish you all a very, very, very happy Sankranti. And may Bhagavan bless all of us with all that we need to make this life meaningful and complete. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Any questions?
Swamini, could I pronounce? Could I ask a quick question, please? I don't want to take too much of time.
Please, doctor, go ahead.
I've been born a Vaishnava, so I follow the Ramanuja Sampradaya, which is Vishishta Dvaita.
Yeah.
There are others who follow the Madhvacharya Sampradaya of dualism.
Yes.
These verses are more in keeping with Sankaracharya's philosophy of Advaita. How do I correlate? I cannot say my guru is wrong or Ramanujacharya's interpretation is wrong. How do I connect the three?
We need not say anybody is wrong or anything. When the teaching is given, doctor, you can appreciate that as long as the teaching does not contradict your reasoning. Based on your understanding only, you're accepting what is being said. And with reference to Bhagavan being the whole, this fact of Bhagavan being the whole, even Ramanujacharya will not deny this fact.
But he says we are part of the whole, not the whole. But
this teaching is... we are part of the whole. Whether you say part of the whole, we are saying we are the whole. The difference may be there. But Ramanujacharya does not deny the fact of Bhagavan being the whole. He also says, Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. Even Shaivisiddhanti says, Sarvam Shivamayam Jagat. Ellam Shivamayam, they say. Vishwasvatin say, Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. In one thing, with reference to this particular fact of Bhagavan being the whole, no Acharya denies that. Everything, non-Vedic traditions, they use the expression almighty, omnipresent, omnipotent. They do not deny this fact. But when the question of unfoldment comes, how can you establish everything is Bhagavan means, do you exist independent of Bhagavan? Can you exist independent of Bhagavan? So the teaching does not contradict the reasoning, so we accept the reason, teaching. At the same time, we do appreciate with due respect to other acharyas, that we do see the fact that from their standpoint, what they say is also not wrong. But there's another standpoint from which we say Adi Shankaracharya is also absolutely correct. So all standpoints, doctor. All the acharyas, beautiful, wonderful, all of them emphasize dharma so much. So much, all of them, you know, even Madhvacharya emphasizes so much of dharma. Ramanujacharya, they emphasize so much of dharma. Ahimsa, paramo, dharma, you know, Ramanujacharya emphasizes so much. And of course, Ashankara emphasizes so much. And they all emphasize dharma. All of them follow Veda Shastram as the Veda as the Pramana Granthaha. All of them are Vedikas. Finally, they may say, I'm different from Bhagavan. I am part of Bhagavan. I'm one with Bhagavan. This they may say, doesn't matter. But in all their books, this one fact is, there, all that is, there is only Bhagavan that they cannot deny. But how about I? That is where, that we don't need to say which Acharya is wrong, which Acharya is right. We only see, understand the unfoldment of the teaching, and we do see the teaching does not contradict our reasoning. So we politely, with all humility, respectfully, we accept the teaching. This is how I see it. In fact, I myself was born in a very, very staunch Vadagale Sampradaya. When I was young, I never said Tulasi. Our elders only said Tiruthurai because there she comes. They wouldn't even say Tiruthurai, Tiruvamudu. We said all the words were different. I was such a very different background. And I grew up wearing all the time Sri Churnaman, the Thiruman. We have small Chandra Pari like we put and then we hood. I used to go to temple every day in Margai Masam. I learned the Prabandham. I used to chant the Prabandham. I used to recite Nammalvas, Tiruvaimoli. And every day, there was no day I went to school as a child without reciting Tirupavai, Tirupalliyachi. The days Nityanushtanam, Nityanusandhanam we have, Nityanusandhanam we have. All those things we learned, our elders at home, they had to read. In fact, there's one Shiva temple in Coimbatore, which has the honor of having been sung by Saivite Acharya, Saivite saints, Nayanmargal. In fact, when I grew up, I never went to the temple for a very long time. After a long time, I went because there was never told I should go to the temple. I only go to only our Perumal temple in front of our house. Once I come out of our gate and our gate on the main road and if you turn left, there's a Gopuram, we have temple. That's how I grew up. Every Savana Upvasam I used to follow. I used to tie malas every day. For Tirumanjan I used to go. My life was spent mostly in school, tying temple when I was in school. That's how I grew up. But there's a time also I go, maybe by Bhagavan's grace. I used to invoke the grace of only Hayagriva, not Dakshinamurti. Maybe that grace took me to this exposure, these teachings. How? I don't know. But so I respect all acharyas and their views, contentions from their standpoint. What I love about all of them is all of them equally emphasize commitment to Bhagavan and commitment to Dharma. And finally what they say, I do not really probe in too much. I only take it as from their standpoints. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.